good job.
Amen. Thank you, God. Nice. God is our ever-present help in times of trouble. Even though the mountains should shake and even though they should fall into the heart of the sea, God is with us. And Psalm 46 says, "So be still and know that I am God." Just be still. And I think that's maybe something there's a few of us need to hear today. Just need to be still. Need to know that God is God. He is God with us. He is Emmanuel. He's God with us, God in us. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is so good to be here. We weren't here last Sunday because we were in the States for my mother-in-law's funeral, but so good to be with you again. Good to worship with you. Good to just experience the Spirit of God moving in this place. And so good to see so many of you back. I don't know where you've been. That snowstorm didn't help. But I'm glad you're here. And we just expect today we're going to hear from God. God brings us here for a reason. God has something to say. You know, we have something to say to God, too. We have this sort of worship is kind of like dialogue, although God gets the last word always. But we want to say to God, we love you, God. We worship you. We belong to you. We want to be obedient to you and to your word, God. That's our dialogue. Our dialogue is, God, we love you, and we're going to just follow you. You show us the way. God's dialogue to us is, it's going to be all right. Now, some of you need to hear that today. It is going to be all right. I know you're going through the fire, and I know you're going through the storm. I know you're going through the river, but it's going to be all right because I am with you, because I am your God, because I love you with an everlasting love. I love you in a way that no one has ever loved you before, and no one ever will ever love you the way I love you. It will be all right because I am God and I am in control. I'm in control of your addiction. I'm in control of your broken relationship. I'm in control of the fact that you don't have a place to live or you don't have a job. I am your God. You can trust me. And that's the hardest part, is just trusting God. Hear that from God today. God loves you so much. He loves you so much with an everlasting love. The love of the Lord endures forever, the psalmist says. Amen? Amen. Today we have Ben and, is it Taja? Ben and Taja from Costa Rica. And yeah, that's good. In a moment, Ben's going to share a little bit about what God's been doing in Costa Rica. We know that Ken and Frida have been going there at different times over the last few years. And if anyone's been wondering whether they've actually been going to Costa Rica or maybe just going to Hawaii instead, we find out that they've actually been going to Costa Rica because one day they ran into Ben and Taja in a park, and that's how you guys met. Just God ordaining that meeting, God's timing. They met together, and even though most of Ken and Frida's ministry have been with a pastor there named William, they've had some contact with Ben. Ben, we welcome you, and we want to just hear what you have to say. Give me a hug. God bless you. You want a hand mic or you want to go? Yeah, I'll get you that. Give me a hand, yeah. Might take a second. You're on though.
I'm so excited to be here today.
Amen.
Yeah. All the glory to our Lord Jesus. And I'm so excited to have this opportunity the Lord has given us. Receive greetings from Costa Rica, from Latin America. We have brothers and sisters there. And God put a dream in our hearts, and that it's a dream of unity. When Jesus said, love one another, he knew that that was the solution to all the problems on earth. It's been over 2,000 years, and we're still learning that is the key to come to God, is love one another. And that is something that I've seen here in Red Deer so much. And I just want to encourage you. We've been in a really long trip, and here in Red Deer, you can see that heart that God gave you for the other, for the one that is in need, for the one that is needing that light And I was reading there where the cross is, there is light. And I just want to encourage you to continue going in that pathway, because this glorifies Jesus. Jesus came here because he loved us so much. He saw us in need. And he commanded us to go and make disciples. Not only believers, but disciples. The disciples follow the master and do what he does. And that's what you are doing here in Red Deer. So I just want to tell you that it is so beautiful to see that. In about Costa Rica and about Latin America, we want to see Latin America united. There is so much that we can do for missions, but we are in disunity, and we are also kind of used to seeing missions coming to us. But I believe the time has come that Latin America needs to go. Latin America needs to go and give to the nations what God has given to them through the years. And I've been working with local churches and with different people, trying to encourage them. And we already had some mission trips within Costa Rica, and we went to Panama, and there's a team now in Nicaragua, and we just want to encourage people to go, not only to say I'm needy and I need help, but also learn that God also wants us to be helpers. I believe God is changing that in our lives. He is transforming us, and that's also happening here in Red Deer. When he transforms you, he teaches you how to help others, how to tell others, I've been there and now I'm free. You can go through this with God. He rescued me and he will rescue you. And I am so on fire to see the nations following Jesus. I want to believe that we are the generation that will see this message in every place on earth, in every corner. Because the Bible says that this message will go to all the nations, and then the end will come. If we want to see this world fully transformed, we want to see Jesus coming in glory. And the most exciting thing is that Jesus could do this by himself in 5 seconds. He could reveal himself to all the nations. But he is the loving Father, and he wants us to be part of this dream. He called us, no matter how many times we fail him. See the example of Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And then Jesus told him, feed my lambs. Take care of them. That is the God that we have. A forgiving, loving Father that will come and ask us, let's fulfill this dream. Let's do this together. I like to give this example all the time. A loving father wanted to paint his house. And he had the resources to hire a professional. But he called his children and he said, let's paint this house. He knew that it was going to be kind of a messy floor, that it was going to be spots of different colors everywhere. But he knew that they were going to learn together. At the end, the house was perfect and beautiful, and they had a beautiful experience. God is calling us to paint his house. And he knows that we can be messy sometimes. But he is so loving that he wants to do this. And carrying the gospel to all the nations is something that we need to do together. There's no way we can do this alone. There's no way one person can do this. But we can do it together because we are a body, we have a head, and his name is Jesus. And I want to encourage you. Costa Rica has a strategic location for the education of Latin America. We can bring people from all the other countries and train them in Costa Rica, so they can go to their nations and develop them. And we are using a tool that God has given us, which is community development projects. God wants to take care of the wholeness of the needs of his people. He wants them to have clean water. So with these projects, we train people to produce their own food. We train people to help others. We train community A to help community B. Community B helps community C. And then this is a fire that will cover the whole earth. All glory to Jesus, because he gave us this tool. We have hunger in Africa, and we've been trying to eradicate hunger in Africa for centuries now. The key is that now we will train them to help themselves. If we bring them food, that food will be over at some point. But if we train them to produce food, they will have food that they will share with others. And I believe that God has put this in our hearts. I was sharing the other day with friends, if God loves us so much, he would put in our hearts the needs of others. He would put in our hearts also the solutions, and he will train us, and he will want us to train others. And now we are ripping off labels, and the people in Africa will say, well, we were hungry. We were the ones in need. We were the needy. But now we are the helpers. And you are lifting up an army. It's rising up in the whole earth. And God is calling his people from everywhere, from every corner, from every country, to join this army. And we will fight darkness. And the Bible says that you will resist the devil and they will flee from you. So we will see the enemy fleeing away. Because this earth that God has given us is for his glory, is for his purposes. And he wants us all to be free. And it is time, my brothers and sisters, to take authority in the name of Jesus and go everywhere and share this news. We are praying, as our pastor was saying, we met Ken and Frida in a park. We didn't orchestrate that meeting. The Lord God Almighty did it. And then through the years, we are praying and we are trying to discover, and we are asking our Lord Jesus to reveal us what is the plan that he had that day when he put people together in a public park while we were doing ministry. So please join us in prayer. Who will join us in prayer? Who will pray for Latin America? Who will pray for Costa Rica? You need to know we will be praying for Canada. We will be praying for Red Deer, because we are one body. We are one family. So let's continue praying. We will be seeking the Lord to see what's the plan that he has. Maybe he wants you to go to Costa Rica. Maybe he wants you to go to Nicaragua or Panama. Maybe he wants to put together a mission trip. Maybe you have something that you might be able to teach people in Costa Rica. Maybe we could bring people from Latin America here and experience what is happening in Red Deer. We don't know what God wants, but what we know is that he wants to see his people free, running to help others, bringing a fire that he brought us over 2,000 years ago. His love endures forever. His word will endure forever. And the purposes that he has for you, for me, for his people will endure forever. And he will finish what he started with you. May the Lord Jesus be glorified. I'm so excited to be here. Please continue praying with us to seek the Lord, to see what are his plans for the future. You all be blessed. May God bless you so much.
Amen. Maybe Ken and Frida and Crystal, would you come up? We shouldn't just talk about praying. We should actually do it. It's exciting. I get excited when I hear what God's doing in other places. And I love that idea of you sending people here, and And we sending some people from Red Deer to Latin America and to Costa Rica. I would like to pick some of those people that we're going to send over there even. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Amen. So let's pray. Oh, your wife, is she here? Or?
She's at the nursery.
Okay, we'll pray for her anyway. So,
Krista, you pray first. Let's join together.
Father, thank you that you are the faithful God and that you are the same today and yesterday and forever. And that you are the same God in Costa Rica as you are in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada. God, thank you for that. Thank you that is your desire that we be unified. And so, God, I just pray a blessing on this couple, Father, as they seek to listen and to hear your will. And, Father, I pray that you will continue to guide them. Thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit is in them and that you are already doing amazing and beautiful things. And so, God, we just lift them up today, Lord. We encourage them in your name. Thank you, Jesus.
Loving Abba Father, just thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness, and that you have joined us together with people who know and love you. Oh Father, we just trust you for what you're going to do. Thank you for what you've been doing, what you are doing now, and what you're going to do. I just pray that we will be all of us really listening to you and following you in obedience and faith, that we would serve you by serving others as you guide. In the loving name of Jesus.
So God, we lift up Ben and Taja and their daughter, and we thank you for this family that are just committed to serving you. Thank you, Lord, for YWAM, and I pray that you'll continue to bless them in their work with YWAM, and Lord, that just the power of God would flow through them. Thank you, God, for being so faithful. And we are touched today by this encouragement. We leave them, Lord, with great encouragement as well, that God goes with them. Be the front and be the back, God. Just be the one who stands in the gap and lead them, Lord, in your pathway. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. We are going to just introduce a little bit about the leadership for next Sunday. We will be choosing leaders. We're choosing three more leaders. And I'm not going to say any more than that because that's why you're coming.
I'd like to have Doug McLean, Andy Plummer, Charlene Collison, Norma Raleigh, Tim and Barb Caldwell. They're not here. And Chad McDonald. I don't believe he is here either. These people have allowed their names to stand, Tim and Barb and Chad as well, for the leadership that we need. If we're going to go forward with Potter's Hands Ministry, we just feel that we need more leaders, more people with vision. Amen? To go forth. So just to put a face to the name. And so we just thank the Lord for these people, these brothers and sisters that have allowed their names to stand for leadership. So there'll be a choosing of them, a drawing of their names in a week or 2 weeks from now, whatever the case may be. So you guys pray. You guys pray. All of us pray. We want God's leaders. Amen? We want God's. We don't want man's. We want God's leaders. And so God is going to choose three of them out of the seven people. Okay? So God is going to be first in this. And just to... Okay. Thank you. Yeah. just wanted to share along with my brother here a golden opportunity that we have. You know, I'm not against going again to Africa, South America, or any other place in the world. I'm not against that. I'm all for it. Praise God. Go. But there's a community down the road here, Hobima Reserve. It's a native reserve, and there's well over 15,000 souls there. And we got two churches there that are evangelical churches. And we have a golden opportunity. We're going out there on December 14th, and we're going to have it do an outreach out there. Kim and her children are going to be doing skits there. And if you feel you want to go and come, just let me know. We're going to go out there. We're going to present the gospel to these people. They're dying. They're killing themselves. And we have the answer. We have the truth. And it's just down the road, just a few minutes. And from there, you can take this gospel to anywhere in the world. Amen? There's nations perishing. There's nations, millions, multi-millions, billions of people perishing, going into an eternal hell. And we have the truth. And God has given us the mandate. Given us the mandate to go. You have the truth. All of us here. So none of us can say to ourselves, well, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to do. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? God has chosen you of all the peoples of the earth. God has chosen you to be alive at this very time and place. Amen? So here's an opportunity. And that's not the only one. I mean, there's opportunities galore in the city of Red Deer. And like my brother said, God is raising up an army, hallelujah, in the earth. Amen? To glorify His holy name. Are you a part of that army? You can be. You may look in the mirror and say, oh, I don't have these qualifications. I don't have a diploma and all this stuff. Man alive, you don't need that. You do not need that. You got Jesus in your heart? Good enough. Amen? Thank you, Lord. I'll just leave it at that.
Man, I don't know why you stopped. You were just going, I was ready to, that was good. That was good. It was getting better and better. We got Jesus in our heart, you know, and we have mission fields everywhere. And Jesus said that, you know, we should go into Jerusalem and then into Samaria and then into Judea and then to the ends of the earth. It starts right at home and then it goes from there to other places, to Costa Rica and to Habima. Thank God for that. And just, I just want to make sure that you understand the clarity. It was really clear about the, there's no voting next week. We've listened to you. You presented us with names of people that you thought would be good leaders among us. We took that seriously as existing leaders. We've been praying about that. And if your name is not on that list, don't be hurt. There may be some really good reasons. Maybe we're just leaving you alone because you're involved in a ministry that we think is so important. There could be 100 reasons for that. But next week, we're going to draw lots. Because that's what happened in the New Testament church as well. In doing that, we give God some room. So out of 7 people, there'll be 3 names that will be chosen. We just are praying. And that's the most important part of what Alvin said is we are imploring you or asking you, pray. You need this week to just pray to God. Lord, provide us with the men and women that we need. And you choose them, God. You pick them. Amen? You get that? All right. I wanted to say a few words and look at God's word today about leadership and about the gifts and about how we all fit together in the body of Christ. I want to start this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. But, you know, like usual, I just really would appreciate a prayer here before we open the word of God. So, Rob, would you do that? Would you just stand next to me here? And we're going to ask God to speak because we need to hear from Him.
Father God, we just praise you and thank you for this morning, Lord God. We just honor Stan's request, Lord, that you would speak through him.
Yes, God.
Lord, we just ask that you would fill him with your spirit, give him the words he needs and the strength he needs to bring them forth, Lord God.
Thank you.
Just bless him this morning. And bless the word unto us.
Mm.
Open our hearts, open our ears to hear you this morning, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, we get a pretty good picture, a metaphor of what the church is supposed to look like, and it's compared to a body, that we are the body of Christ. We're going to read starting with verse 4 this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Just listen to what God says. Listen to how he describes what the church is supposed to look like. It doesn't always look this way, but this is what it's supposed to look like. Paul says in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. You say amen to that? Mm-hmm. And then just a little later on, He says in verse 21, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be," get this now, this is important, "so that there should be no division in the body." When Ben talks about disunity in Latin America, we can say amen, because we know what that's like in this part of the world too. The church does not stand together as one. We are not fighting arm in arm. We are not standing in unity. But the Bible says that we should be doing just that, that there should be no division in the body, and that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And then finally He says this, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Isn't that great? You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I was drawn this week to this passage and this model of, you know, what the New Testament church should look like and what leadership should look like, and how we are to function as a body, and that every single one of us is important. Every single one is indispensable, that there's no part that is not valuable. Even, you know, just thinking about even like the part of your body and even a fingernail, you might think, well, I'm just the fingernail in the church. That's not very important. I don't amount to much. But you know, you lose your fingernail or you hit it with a hammer and you'll find out real quickly how valuable and how important that part of the body is. Or you try to pick up a penny, if there are any pennies left, you try to pick up a penny off the ground without a fingernail and you'll find out, man, that is an indispensable part of my body. I need that fingernail. Not too long ago, we spent a lot of time talking about Moses, and I want to just briefly go back to that again, just because there's all about leadership. Moses is all about leadership. Moses shows us a model of someone who was used by God to lead Israel through the desert into the promised land. And there was an event that happened in Moses' life when his father-in-law came up to him, and he said to Moses, "Moses, you can't do all of this alone anymore." We kind of reached that point in this church a couple of years ago when we chose leaders. We didn't really have chosen leaders before. Now we have 8 leaders that lead us. We didn't have leaders before that. But Moses had that in his life too, where everything fell on Moses' shoulders. And the father-in-law of Moses came to him and said, "You know, this isn't any good. This isn't wise. You need to share leadership." And I want to just read a few verses of that in Exodus chapter 18, verse 17. It's on the board or the screen, whatever you want to call it. Moses' father-in-law replied, verse 17, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring disputes to Him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties that you are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. And if you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. Well, I'm not sure all the people went home satisfied unless they're way different than people today. But I like the idea that, you know, there's a strain in leadership. I don't like that idea, but I think it's a true idea that there's a strain in being a leader. There's stress, there's a burden, and we just can't do it alone. We need to share. There's wise wisdom here. There's wise words here. And we need to share leadership. And that's what God was really saying to Moses through Jethro, through his father-in-law. You need to learn to share things, Moses, or you're never going to last. And there's a few of you need to hear this because you get so involved. We all do this. I do this. I'm guilty of this. We get so involved in ministry. It becomes overwhelming. And there's a strain to it sometimes. We just can't keep, you know, we can't keep bearing the burdens that people lay down upon us. Nor should we, because the burdens should be laid on Jesus, right? We need to keep pointing to Jesus. But maybe you need to hear this today, that, you know, the strain is too much and it needs to be shared by the body. We need to learn to stand together because we haven't been doing that very well. We leave it to other people to carry the weight. And what happens is when we do that, there's just this fatigue in our lives. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we're doing, right? We get into that mode. We do. I want to do more for God. I want to do. And where God really says, I didn't really ask you to do all that much. What I asked you to do is just to be. I need you to be. I need you to live in a relationship with me. Living is being, not doing. And you don't need to carry it all. You're carrying more on your shoulders than you need to carry. You need to just hand it over to me. And in a real way, that's one of the things that's going to be happening as we add more names, more leaders among us, is that we're able to share the load because it's too heavy otherwise. And just one more little passage in Numbers chapter 11. God says this, and it's the same sort of thing. God, I'll just read this in Numbers 11:16. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. And I will come down and speak with you there." This is God saying this to Moses. "And I will take the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. And they will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone." You say amen? Isn't that good? You know what I find really interesting is when God says to Moses, "And I will take the spirit that is on you and I will put that spirit on them." Or another way you could translate that is, "I will pour that spirit upon them." And that's how God raised up leaders in the Old Testament. And you know, when I read that, as a New Testament Christian, and as people who are post-Pentecost, where we know that the power of the Holy Spirit has been poured upon us, I get excited because it's not just the spirit of a man, because Moses was just a man. It's not Moses. God says, "I'm going to take the spirit of you, Moses, and I'm going to pour it upon these other 70 people." But isn't this really exciting when you think about it, that because we now have the power of the Holy Spirit, that God is pouring the power of His Spirit into all of us, right? And that it's the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God poured the power or the spirit of Moses upon other leaders. But today, because of the power of His Spirit, because of Pentecost, because God has kept His promise and He has unleashed the Spirit on His church, we have all of the gifts and we have the power of God to do exactly what we've been hearing about through Ben and through Alvin, to change this world, to go out with authority, to tell people that it's time to turn to Christ because He's the only one who can save. But we need to do this as a body. Are you getting that? We don't just do it as leaders. It's not just the evangelists that are doing this. It's the body of Christ that needs to rise up. We need to move in the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to be willing to receive from God whatever He chooses to give us so that we become that integral part of the body, even if it's a fingernail, so that we work with God to do what He wants us to do. God said in the last days, and it's a fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, "In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. upon all your children, your sons and your daughters. He says, your sons will dream dreams. I'm sorry, he says, your sons will have visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And even upon my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. It isn't the spirit of Moses that gets me excited. It's the Holy Spirit that gets me excited. And that God pours His Spirit upon us and He says, you are the body of Christ. Did you hear that? I mean, that's God pointing His finger right at you. He says, you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Each one belongs. Each one is important. Everyone brings something to the table. Every one of us has a paintbrush in our hands, and we're painting the Father's house. Everyone. And there's not one of us that's not important. We need the entire body of Christ to function, not just leaders. Do we need leaders? Yes. I'm making that clear, I think. But we need to kind of go beyond that and say that we need others as well. We need everyone to use the gifts that God's given. We need healers, people who have the gift of healing. We need people who know how to interpret tongues. We need people who are good in administration. By the way, that's a spiritual gift. You know, we need people who are good at making sure that, you know, we know the difference of being in the red and being in the black. That's a big deal, right? We need people who are good at that. We need people who will visit the sick, people who will feed the poor. Thank God for Chris and for those who surround him. We need people who function in every part as the body. Some are the toe or the knee or some are the wrist or some are fingernails, but we need every single one to be engaged. And here's the problem. The problem is that when we look at it, we still, and I'm just trying to hear me today, we still gravitate, we still kind of prefer the Old Testament model to the New Testament model. The Old Testament model is a model of one man leading a nation through the wilderness into the promised land. And we kind of like that idea. We just want to follow someone. We don't want to get too involved. All we want to do is kind of trudge through the desert and, well, where are you going? I have no idea. But the Moses knows where we're going, and I'm just following this guy ahead of me. I have no idea where I'm going. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm just doing whatever the other guy does. I think Moses knows what's going on. That is an Old Testament model, and I think, if anything, it's a model that's gotten more popular in the last 20 or 30 years. We see the rise of megachurches, and I'm not against megachurches. I know they do great things, but I would say today that they are following, that is a model. The model of the megachurch is an Old Testament model of Moses leading one group of people. It's about one face that's the face of the franchise. It's about one, usually it surrounds, these huge churches surround one particular charismatic leader who's really gifted and really good looking. And that's why it'll never work for me, by the way. But that's usually the model, right? This one very gifted, powerful speaker, everyone is drawn to that person and everyone kind of follows that person along. Well, that's a Moses model, okay? That is a Moses model. It's not a Jesus model. It's the Moses model is a model where we follow one individual who seems to have all the gifts and who he alone speaks the word of God. He knows the voice of God. And he is the face of the franchise. He is the voice of God. And everything either is successful or it fades away, depending on that one person. That is the Moses model, but it's not the Jesus model. And I want you to get this today, that the Jesus model is this, that our head, our leader, hey, you know what, it isn't Pastor Stan. It better not be. Our leader is Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't follow a man, we follow a king. There's a king who leads us. He is the exalted king. He is the sovereign Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And He leads wherever He wants to lead us. He is a mighty God. He's eternal King. We see the old model, that model, you follow a man through a desert, and it didn't work all that good. But Jesus said, you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. And he says, follow me. He didn't say, what I want you to do is get someone who's really good looking and really talented and can sing good and preaches a storm and just follow him through life. No, Jesus said, follow me. Jesus is our leader. We need to have that New Testament model. And if we understand that model from what we read in 1 Corinthians 12, every single one of us plays a role. Everyone is vital. Everyone adds to what we're doing as the body of Christ. Everyone. And so, really, that's where the question, that's where it brings us to this question today. Is so where do you fit in? You know, what is your gift? There's a power of God's Holy Spirit that is poured out upon us, and not just on some of us, but all of us have received the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, and we need every flavor, we need every part, we need every gift to be used. Whether you're a piano player or whether you have the gift of cleaning toilets. Sorry, Kathy. Those are gifts, they're things that are necessary. Whether you need to feed the poor or whether God calls you to visit someone who's in the hospital. You know, here's the, I think one of the most fascinating things about the Holy Spirit is that we have this direct connection to God, the Holy Spirit, so that at any moment in time, he might say, here's now what I want you to do. I want you to go to her. I want you to phone that lonely person. That's what I put on your life right now. I ask you to go to Costa Rica and bring hope. I want you to teach kids in grade 2. This is a gift I bestow upon you, and I want you to be happy about that. Okay, that wasn't fair. I'm going to hear about that. She is happy about that. The grade 2 kids are hard, that's all. We'll get into this another day. But you know what I'm saying? Is that God says that to each one of us. That, you know what? Here's the difference. We're not sitting in a theater. You're not going to a movie here today. You're not watching The Rebels. If you're doing that, you can just be a spectator. You can just get your chair and go, okay, man, I hope this is going to be a good show today. Let's see what goes on in church. I wonder who's singing. I wonder what the pastor's going to talk about because I'm just going to sit here. You know what? That's not church. Church is that we are all involved, every one of us. Everyone is vital and important. Some of you are involved in street ministry in the evenings, bringing stuff to people who are hungry. Man, that's exciting. That's good. Some of you are involved in our nursery or our Sunday school program. Is that any less important? That is so vital, so important. Our children are going to rise up to be the next generation of those who proclaim that Christ is the Lord. Amen? Yeah. So, it's a hard question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. What is your spiritual gift or gifts? What's God given you to use? When you look deep into your heart, when you look at your life, you go, this is what God is equipping me with. And then the question that follows that is, so are you using it? And are you using that gift with joy in service? You know, 1 Corinthians 12 says that we should be serving one another in love. Are we doing that? Are you using your gift to serve one another in love? And I want to remind you of something this morning. And that's that the gift that you have isn't one you get to pick. And that's where a lot of people get wrong about that. They go, well, here, I look at the list. Man, there's some of these I really want. You know, this is not a Chinese gift exchange. You can't just look at the pile of gifts and go, well, this is the one. I want Mitch's gift, so I'm taking your gift and I'm giving my lousy gift over here. You don't get to pick, okay? I'm sorry about this. I didn't make this up. It's in the Bible. God decides what you're going to get. God gives you the gift you have or the gifts that you get. If it was the other way around, if we just picked what we wanted, we would all be picking the biggest and the shiniest box or the gift that's the most expensive. We would all be healers and evangelists where we need administrators. We need people. Did you hear that one? Where people who discern spirits? I read that one. I think, man, we need that around here. We need that around here because there's some people that come in here and they want to save the world, or they've got this new wonderful teaching, or we need people who are discerning those spirits and saying, no, wait a minute, this isn't from God. We need every, you getting this? We need every gift. You don't get to pick the gift that God gives you. It's a gift. And the other thing about that is, I want you to really hear this, is that the gift you get isn't, how am I going to put this? It isn't just so you take it. The gift needs to remain a gift. So in other words, when I get a gift, it's not just so that I've received this gift. It stays a gift so that I'm giving my gift to, here's this gift. I can do this, right? The gift remains a gift. You got it? It remains a gift. God gives it to me to give it to you, to give it to others. It's not ultimately my gift at all. It's the gift that belongs to the body of Christ. Do you recognize that? What you have, it's not yours. It's ours. All of ours. We share it together. It's ours. Because you are the body of Christ. And sometimes, in my wildest dreams, I think about what would ever happen. What would ever happen if we actually believe that? What would ever happen if we ever mustered up enough faith with even just the people in this room to say, you know what, I'm not going to care about me, I'm not going to serve myself, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to use my gifts, and we're going to actually function as the body of Christ. We're going to see the needs that are out there. We're going to go into the world, we're going to tell people. If we just, you know, it's not that we're lacking anything. God's given us all that we need. But the problem is it's all in here, and we're not ready to hold hands together and really be the body of Christ. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You quoted that, I think, or maybe it was Alvin who quoted it. I think that this is what God wants us to hear today. They didn't know I was going to be preaching about this. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Why did Jesus say that? He said it because he wants us to know that in the parenthesis, what he's really saying is, and I give it to you, okay? I have all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I infer it to you. So go now. This is what you said, Ben. Go now and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them all the things I have told you. For behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Man, we have authority. We have authority that we don't even recognize. And I want to follow this model of the New Testament church. I want you to understand the difference between the two models. The one model is one guy, one man, who leads a nation through the desert into a promised land. The other model is one Christ, who through his body, the church, leads all nations. Did you hear that? Not just one nation. He leads all nations through the blood of Christ into an eternal land and a new kingdom. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? And you know what? You don't need me today to tell you what to do. In fact, it's probably not helpful at all if I even do it. What you need to do, what I need to do, is I just need to start listening to God. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. We need to pray to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, who do I go to? Who do I encourage? Who needs a cup of coffee? Who's lonely that I could phone? There's a whole bunch of dying people in the hospice that need visiting, and people in the hospital who need to hear that Jesus Christ came to die for them. Who's going to go to see them? We need to ask Spirit God to whisper in our ear and to tell us, what do I do today? Who needs me today, God? How do I lead? How do I preach? How do I teach? God, show us what your plan is for your church. We know what your purpose is. Your purpose is that the whole world will know that you're the King. Your purpose is that not even one will be turned away, that all will come to know you. That's your purpose. Your purpose is that we, the Church of Christ, will proclaim the lordship of Christ. And that we are not led by a man. We are led by a king. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, I hear you saying this prophetic word. I've been hearing this all week. And so help me, Lord, to somehow find a way to just speak that word this morning. That you would say to us today, it's time that my church stops trudging around through the desert following a man. And it's time that my church and my body starts operating like a body, like a living organism. That the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord would say to us today, it's time that we follow our exalted head, Jesus Christ, and it's time that our hearts and our ears are open to listen to the prodding of the Holy Spirit as you show and teach and tell us what to do and go and say. It's time. That God would say, I want my church to serve each other in love. And recognize that everyone, every single one, is a valuable, irreplaceable part on the team. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray that you'd move our hearts today. And we're called to different things, and that's great. We are not called to all have the same gift. We're not all noses. We're not all arms. We have every part of the body, and I believe, God, that you have given us every part, that the whole body is here. And I'm grateful for that, God. And I know, Lord, in my own life, too, and I just confess this, that more and more, there needs to be less and less of me here, that more people take over things. And I'm glad, Lord, for that, that that's been happening, and I pray that it'll just keep happening, that I learn to use the gift you want me to use, but that we all have gifts to bring and to bear, and we all bring the voice of God, all of us. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're just such an amazing king and a faithful head of the body. And that we don't need to be afraid and we don't need to worry, because this church, as in the church is yours. We belong to you. You are our exalted head. And even the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We belong. We belong to you, Jesus. So lead on. Show us, God, by your Spirit. Amen.
I lift my voice.
Talking about. We harmonize, we sing together, we do different notes, but it's one song. We're one body. If you need something today from God, don't leave. If you need prayer, if there's a burden that needs lifting, if you need to come to Jesus today and you know He's tugging on your heart, it's time to come up here and not run away. Don't run away. Just come to the front. I'm going to give you the parting blessing and you're dismissed. And we're going to sing that one more time, okay? Just with the voices. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen?
I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you in your ear. Oh.